Good morning. Welcome to a WAMC Fun Drive roundtable panel special. I'm Joe Donahue, Alan Chartok, Teresa Bourgeois, and Rich Honan, and you're the volunteers. All right. Good morning and welcome to the roundtable panel that we have put together in Pledge Central, which is very exciting. We're around a half of a roundtable, so that is a, I don't know. What phase of the moon is this?
Just past full.
Yeah, that's right. Well, good morning and welcome. So thanks to you and coming forward and saying that you wanted this. We're able to do it, and we have a lot to talk about, obviously. Let me introduce the panel officially, and then we'll get started and go in and start to figure out what happened last night. Oh, what happened last night. First, Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan. You've been up all morning working.
Yeah, this morning, but what happened is I went home. I slept for an hour and a half from 7:30 to about 9, and then I listened to the round table. No, I didn't do that. I'm so tired. Then I listened to the debate. Then I got in the car, and I came back over here and slept another 3 hours. So I'm a mess.
All right. Well, Let's go then.
I'll do my best.
All right, let's go then. And then communications consultant, Teresa Bourgeois, thank you very much for being with us. Very
delighted
nice to have
here.
You with you. And corporate attorney Rich Honan is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Very nice to have you with us.
Great to be here among the volunteers.
Yes,
really
I know.
Cool. No, I'm
right.
Digging it.
You got your body, man? Good. it's all good. All right, so let's talk about what happened last night and what developed or devolved, depending on how you look at it. So I think you'll allow me just this observation, and then and I think I'll properly set this up. However, the debate seemed quite restrained at the beginning. For the first 90 minutes or so, we were talking about a lot of policy issues, went from very serious issues and talking about a variety of things, and things seem to be, while maybe not changing anyone's mind specifically, what certainly happened is that there was that moment where Donald Trump said that he would not say if he would accept election results, and he said that he was going to keep us in suspense. He said, "I will keep you in suspense." Hillary Clinton replied that his statement was horrifying. And that, of course, became the moment, and that, of course, became
the headline.
The headline across the country this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was astounded by that. I think they had him trying to keep his cool and to be on target with, you know, programs. But nevertheless, I just thought that his demeanor was so unsettling. You know, you had a guy, every time she'd start to talk, he would say, no, wrong, 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 or no. And then you would look at him, and they would do a split screen. And in order to divert attention, I can just see Alec Baldwin, by the way, getting his material together for Saturday Night Live. But more people will watch that than watch the debate, I suspect, although a lot of people watch that debate. And every time she'd start to talk, he'd start fiddling with the microphone so as to deflect attention. But all this business about wrong, wrong, and at one point, the one that got me, Joe, was at one point he said something that was so appalling to Hillary Clinton that she tried to say something after he interrupted her again and again and again and again. And he said, "It's my time," as if he was interfering. It was unbelievable.
Well, and at the last gasp of the debate, when she was starting to wrap up in the last 10 minutes or so, when he said, "What a nasty woman," that was also
quite a shot that I think there were a few moments that I that took Twitter by storm. That was one of them. The ombre moment was another. So
what was that one again?
He was talking about immigration and said there are some bad ombres out there. So I don't know that I don't think that went over very well. There were a couple of moments. Teresa, what did you make of it?
Well, I think the issue, I think that his challenge, Trump's challenge, was to show to the American people that he was qualified to be president of the United States. That was the bar he needed to meet. And I think that on many different issues, he did not meet that bar. And I think that I agree that with many of the pundits who say it's absolutely disqualifying if you do not say that you'll accept the outcome of the election. Now, I was listening to Morning Joe today, and they were saying that's an elitist view, but I'd be interested in what your listeners think if that's in fact an elitist view. I think that what Secretary Clinton said, that her response was that's not how our democracy works, and that he's talking down our democracy, and I agree with that. I think that you have to first understand the Constitution. He demeans the office that he seeks, I think, in saying that.
Rich Oman.
I had a question for Teresa, just a technical question. Did you not feel he did much better in this debate than in the first debate, from a technical standpoint?
I think the debate itself focused on issues, so that was better. But I think that there was he clearly could not answer in depth any of the questions. So while he did better in the sense that he might have sounded more calm, there might have been less sniffing and such, I think the substance of what he said was in many respects horrifying. I think not only his answer about not accepting the outcome of the election was horrifying, I was equally disturbed about his answer on espionage. What did you think about his answer on espionage?
I thought the answer I heard was, they said, was this when Wallace teed it up and said, you know, are you against the Russians performing espionage on us? And he said, yeah, I am. Right? Is that the one we're talking about?
He said that he couldn't denounce it. He said we had no proof that it was the Russians. And then
I think you make it sound a little more polished than it came off.
Right. She came back and said there are 19 different organizations. Our national security, our generals have said this is espionage. And his response was, we don't know that. Now, just think, Rich. This man wants to run. He wants to be president of the United States of America. If he gets elected, in that answer, he was saying, I do not trust the core infrastructure of our defense and our national security advisors.
Well, I think there's a lot of questions about the core infrastructure of our national security advisors. I also think what he was saying was, we don't know it's the Russians. He said, we don't know if it's the Russians, we don't know if it's the Chinese, we don't know if it's the Iranians, all people that have been practicing cyber war against us. And is that for me? No. I'm trying to decide whether I'm supposed to be writing a check to the fund drive as I'm doing this, which I hope you all are, by the way.
Right.
Because if you don't give money to WAMC, people like me are going to end up ruling this country. You don't want to see that.
And by the way, with just a little while to go, we only have $49,000 to go in the whole fund drive.
That's
amazing.
Is true.
Right. So if anybody wants to keep calling, we've got volunteers here. We'll take the calls.
Or Hillary can give a speech for 10 minutes somewhere, and that would pick up that $49,000. That's a cheap shot.
It is a cheap shot.
And why is that?
Do you think women should not make as much for speeches as men at that level?
I think people should make as much money as they possibly can for speeches at that level.
She was a private citizen.
She was.
But let's go back to espionage.
Okay, let's go. So I think that, first of all,
And then when we're done with espionage, I'd like to go back to what I originally asked, was what do you make of overall the debate?
Sorry.
And the performance of Donald Trump.
First,
and
I thought, in some contrast to Teresa, I thought, and you know, I defer to her expertise on this because this is her milieu, but I thought he did far better than in the first debate. I think certainly from a format standpoint, I don't think there's anything he's going to say that's going to make anyone in this room besides me like the substance of his answers. I think that, look, she's far better at memorizing and regurgitating, you know, talking points. She's been doing it for, you know, 20 years, and he will never be her equal at that. Okay, but I think he did better than he did before. I think she's probably a better debater than him. I think
so. Look
that's
at
clear.
Me. Just look at me.
Okay. Do I have to keep the headphones on?
Yes, you do. So just look at me. Do you believe when you were watching that you felt that there was a man standing there who had a command of the issues and felt that he was firmly in control of those issues and had an understanding of our government at large and was then qualified to be president of the United States?
Absolutely.
Do you feel
absolutely.
You felt that way?
Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Right. And part of that, look, as you know, I feel like the bar, you know, unfortunately, the bar for, you know, for being president has been getting lower over the last, you know, several terms. I think I'm about to agree with MSNBC by saying I think that's a little bit of an elitist viewpoint to say that somehow because you don't spend time academically discussing issues and then going out and making the wrong decisions that somehow you don't have the ability to run that office.
I don't think it has anything to do with background. I think it has to do with him.
Brian.
Well, you know, this is my position. It always has been that it's all about character. It's all about personality. And he didn't show any reason that people should have that kind of confidence in him last night. Now, I happen to agree with you about some of the stuff. He did better. There's no question he did better. But in order for him to win this election, I don't mean he did better than Hillary, because I certainly don't think he did. But in order to win this election, he would have had to thrown some kind of Hail Mary pass that would have made everybody sit up and take notice. That didn't happen. She held her own. She was very confident last night. She smiled when she should have smiled. She took it seriously. I think he came off as a big bully.
I agree on the bullying. I think he may have been calmer in his tone. But if you listen to the substance of what he said, some of it was just so fundamentally disturbing. It's not that you disagree on the policy. It's his lack of knowledge of the policy or some of the things he said that were just so beyond the pale. And the fact, you know, what he said about Mosul and the notion that he suggested we're going into Mosul as some effort to help Clinton in her campaign. I mean, didn't he allude to that? Am I not right that he suggested that we're going into Mosul?
Am I not right that you have the right to suspect some political motivation to the timing of the Mosul invasion? That a month before the election, we've decided to go against the one place where there's, 3,000 ISIS fighters against, you know, 5,000 Americans and however many Iraqi forces. Do you think in this day and age we are completely beyond the pale in thinking there might be a political aspect to the timing of that?
Okay.
I think that's unrealistic.
I'll take your point. I fundamentally disagree with it, but let's say that that's true. I fundamentally disagree, but let's say it's true. He then went on to, as he has in the past, condemn the military and others for saying in advance, announcing in advance that you're going into Mosul. And he condemned that as stupid. But in fact, that is what's often done. It's a part of the strategy. He doesn't even seem to understand that that's part of a strategy. And Martha Raddatz called him on that in the last debate and said the military often announce in advance for all sorts of strategic reasons. And yet again, he repeats it and doesn't seem to understand that that's a signal for civilians to get out of the way. It's a way to move, you know, military people and others to try to, you know, expose them and such. He didn't understand that.
I think that, first of all, I think that's an incorrect statement. I don't think that that's part, while the military might have been doing this, In these politicized times, I think you will see that every time that we have advertised our not only our strategy but our actual tactics, you know, our day-to-day tactics, for example, as in, you know, abandoning our forces in the Middle East, we've seen that it's taking our forces out of the Middle East on a predetermined timetable, it has never gone well. I don't think that. I think there's been plenty of military operations, successful ones, where we have not broadcast to the enemy and to others the date and time and manner of invasion. And I don't think he's incorrect in pointing that out.
What about what Alan said about bullying? Did you think he was? Did you not think he was bullying?
I think that's part of his personality. I agree with that. You'd be unrealistic to say that. Let me not have the double negatives. Of course, he is at times offensive. He is at times a buffoon. He is, and you might say that's his core personality. I would say she is inveterately corrupt, and I would say that she has not competently carried out any strategy that it has been her job to carry out. All right, so that we're dealing with things on both sides.
I do want to talk about this idea, though, of not accepting. I mean, if you just took what he said last night and said that we'll see, and I'll keep you in suspense, maybe it wouldn't have been the headline in every newspaper across the country this morning. But you have to put it into context with what he's been saying on the stump for the past 3 weeks. Not to mention, actually, as Hillary Clinton pointed out, throughout the campaign, that any time there is a loss in his campaign, that it is somehow rigged against him. So my question then to you, Rich, is don't you think that is very concerning, and as many pundits, both Republican and Democrat, are saying disqualifying?
Wait, in 2000, I'm trying to remember, was the name of the case Bush v. Gore, or was it just Bush? I mean, the Democrats engaged in lots of litigation involving those elections. Do I have my years right? It
was 2000. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was both at the state level and the federal. So that was okay when they were contesting.
But in the end, Al Gore did the right thing, even though he could have gone further in protesting it, and he stepped aside. Frankly, I was a little bit disappointed that he did, because I think they robbed that election. Nevertheless, he did the right thing for the good of the country, as opposed to what we are hearing from Donald Trump right now.
Please go. The difference, as both Republicans and Democrats
said last night. You are politer when you're in front of an audience.
I'm trying to behave. There was a little reprimanding the last time I was on, so I'm trying to behave. Right, I want to jump over and start saying, Are you crazy, Rich? But I'm trying to be calm.
No, you all are. That's fine.
I'm trying to be nice.
I'm always polite.
I'm horrified, but I'm trying to be nice. Both Republicans and Democrats, this really gets to the fundamentals of our democracy, and both Republicans and Democrats have said that the Bush v. Gore was different in that Gore in advance did not say that he would not accept the outcome of the election. I mean, three or four historians were on last night saying this is just has not happened. No one has done this.
Well, also, no one has ever called up to concede a presidential election and then called back 5 minutes later to say, "I'm sorry, I
well,
I don't
that's
concede.
Because, but it that also is because of the state, and then the state of Florida said that they were going to do an automatic recall and recount. So why wouldn't you? I mean, right. that makes sense. I mean, that was the state of Florida that was dictating that more than anything else.
But in this day and age, don't we know that there is litigation involved? There's allegations of vote fraud. I know the Democrats don't believe there's any voter fraud anywhere. And by the way, Alan,
That's not true.
What's not true?
I think everyone at this table certainly would agree that there are certain cases where a vote is suppressed.
Well, if your President Obama was sitting at this table, he would not agree, because didn't he just give a speech a couple of days ago where he said there weren't any such incidences in any numbers at all?
Oh, no, I think you're talking on two different levels.
Two different
things. Wait.
Voter fraud and voter suppression.
That's right. We know that every time people are told that they have to bring a driver's license, or they have to bring something else, or that they can't register because their middle name is wrong, and we know that there's a long history of that in this country, that's voter suppression.
Right.
That is not voter fraud.
It's two sides of the same coin, because every time that there are efforts to try and properly identify voters, the response is no, that's a discriminatory and racist thing to do.
I like your little mistake there. You just said we try.
We try,
identifying
yes.
yourself with yes. that group of people.
Yes, every time, looking. Every time, exactly. Every time the right wing tries to ask people to show ID or otherwise show as much information as I need to show to take a book out of the library in order to vote for president, the response is always, no, that's racist and discriminatory.
But you certainly know, don't you? And you, I know that you are anything but a disingenuous human being. But you certainly know that when people have not had the right kinds of educations in terms of using library cards or getting driver's licenses, you can add up the figures, so can the Republican Party, and they know that every time you add one of these things, you're going to keep somebody away from the polls. You know that, and we know that.
As you know, that besides state and federal agencies, there's also the tons of nonprofits that are devoted towards making sure that doesn't happen.
But they don't control all of those state legislators.
I wonder about that, Alan. You're the one who often makes that allegation.
No, they don't. I'm telling you, the Republicans control those legislatures, and that's why you're getting all of this voter suppression stuff.
And
speaking of Republicans controlling, I mean, if he and you agree believe that there will be voter fraud, then many of these states are governed by Republicans, and therefore it's Republicans who are overseeing the elections. And so is he saying his own Republican?
Well, yes. I don't think he trusts them either, does he? I mean, I think he's made that pretty clear.
Yeah, I think he has made that clear. I think that's part of what we're seeing in this whole thing is there's a mistrust of the establishment, whether it is Republican, whether it's Democrat, whether it's media, whether it's entrenched or not.
Which gets back to Hillary Clinton's point that he's talking down democracy. If you don't believe in the basic fundamental processes of our
government.
Including
the press, including
the rule of law.
I have to ask to interrupt on that one. If for Hillary Clinton to say we are talking down democracy after an election in which in which Bernie Sanders' people made the very correct allegation that were it not for the superdelegates, the populist vote would have gone a much different way. For her to suddenly get religion about democracy, I think is an inconsistent position for her to take.
That is nonsense. It really is. The fact of the matter is that Hillary Clinton was in a brutal campaign. People said things about each other. But as she pointed out last night, Bernie Sanders has been storming the country, talking about how much of a better candidate she is than he is. So let's not be quoting Sanders, because if we did, you'd have to go and quote all those 16 people who were up there with this guy who had some terrible things to say about him.
And I'd like to quote from Bernie Sanders from a tweet last night. He tweeted, Donald Trump is the least qualified person to become president in the history of our country. Go vote. That's what Bernie Sanders
My answer would be second
Go
most.
Vote.
But as I say, I don't follow Bernie.
If you hold him up as an example, what his analysis of the outcome is...
I hold him up as an example of it. Trump has been pilloried for saying, "Oh, it's rigged," and everybody says, "No, it's irresponsible for you to say it's rigged." And I know nobody here listens to right wing talk radio, but they've been playing soundbite after soundbite of Obama talking about how rigged it is, of Hillary talking about how rigged it is, of Elizabeth Warren talking about how rigged it is, and then Bernie talking about how rigged it is, and they're all talking about the election process.
It depends on the context.
Yeah, it
truly
depend
depends
on
the context
being if a Democrat says it, it's okay.
No, not at all. If you're talking about the way in which the South, for example, has for years tried to get black people not to vote, and engage in voter repression and suppression, you better believe that there's a big difference between that and some of the things you're talking about.
No one's advocating that, Alan, though. I mean,
you're drawing
distinctions where they don't. We're talking about people being properly registered in some fair way.
Some fair way we all agree in. But when you keep loading more and more and more on, knowing full well, and I really think this is a little disingenuous of you, Rich, when knowing full well that every time they do it, they're trying to knock off another segment of people from voting. Come on, you know it, and I know it.
I don't agree with that.
The Wall Street Journal did an article not long about their stated strategy is to suppress the vote. They can't expand their own base, and so their strategy is to suppress the vote in an arrange of ways.
That's not Trump's strategy. That might be the strategy.
No, that's Trump's strategy.
No, that might be the strategy of perhaps the Republican establishment against which he is running.
Well, wait a second now. When you say he's running, let me say that if those people who were between a rock and a hard place, and we all know it, those establishment Republicans, were to support Trump, you wouldn't be hearing any of this stuff from him. You would not.
All right. I just want to, a couple of things. First of all, we're doing a special roundtable panel during the fund drive. If you want to pledge, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. However, if you want to comment, please write. Don't call the phone number to comment because we have no way of hearing you. So you want to write. It's roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. And we'll get your letters and we'll go to those in just a second with Alan. But again, 1-800-323-9262 to make sure that we can end the fund drive just hopefully moments after we finish this.
Can I ask a fund drive question? Yeah. Are the New Visions people here?
Yes.
Are you here? Are the New Visions people
Yay.
Here?
Yeah,
very cool. I just want to say New Visions is a terrific program. Are you guys the ones that go to RPI? Do you take the classes there? Okay, you go to the Department of Education building.
But Rich, we're really not going to break up for discussion group.
I'm just saying that New Vision's terrific program. They have at least one or two classes that meet at RPI, doing physics and math there. These are high school students.
Fabulous.
I've spoken to those classes over the last, I want to say, 8 or 10 years, and it's harder to speak to them than it is to speak to the law schools and the graduate schools because they're a lot smarter.
That's at stake.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're here.
And did you guys think for a single second that Chris Wallace was a good moderator last night? Because I did. I thought he was excellent.
I thought he was fantastic.
I thought he was by far the best.
I think he had something to prove, by the way.
I do, too. And I think, I think he took his job very seriously. He was obviously very prepared. I think it was funny that he was at the very beginning when it was announced that he said somebody asked him about fact-checking, and he said that wasn't his job. And yet he did an excellent job fact-checking for both candidates. And I think he did a fine job in having his facts straight. If I had any problem, his first question was really long. It was very open-ended. But after that, he went at it. I thought he was fantastic.
But one could see his frustrations. I thought of that as Rich decided to go off into a different territory right now. I don't
mean
to say that. He would ask one question and they would answer another question. Now, I do understand that that's the way it is in politics, but it was frustrating for the moderator.
Okay, so with that said, how about some letters?
Okay, how about some letters? Okay, Rich. Hello, panel members. Great going on the fund drive. Rich is sounding particularly lame today. Sorry to say, defending Trump's debate performance, he was absurd, an insult to the very process. Defending voter suppression, pick your battles, Rich. Thanks for everything. And that's from Fitzhugh. Thank you very much, Fitzhugh. And John says, I think, yes, Rich understands nothing about voter ID. All of those voter ID laws make getting one of these voter IDs more difficult than a driver's license. Then the states that pass these laws shut down the place where you can get these voter IDs in African-American areas. There are always plenty of them in majority white areas with much longer hours. This isn't hyperbole. The courts have recently ruled as such.
And that's true in several cases, but that's not the stated policy. What I'm saying is that the idea of requiring ID is meant to be done in a non-discriminatory way, and when it is done in a discriminatory way, yes, it should be shut down. And there have been cases. I don't think they're as recent as what he says, but there have been cases where it's been abused. And
clearly we disagree as to the motive that is done to do this. Dan says, Rich said that if it weren't for superdelegates, Bernie would have won the popular vote. Wrong. Hillary exceeded him in the popular vote by millions.
Except that while it changed the trajectory of the voting, because it became apparent midway through that no matter how many popular votes he was going to get, she was going to triumph with the superdelegates anyway.
So what? So you're arguing on two sides. You can't say that because of the superdelegates, Bernie lost, when in fact Hillary got the most votes, and I voted for Bernie.
It would have been much closer, and he might have had a different trajectory if it had not been a foregone conclusion that she was going to get the superdelegates.
What you're saying is, because she got more votes, it was a foregone conclusion.
No. She got more superdelegate votes.
Bernie Sanders has accepted the outcome, Rich. You know, you can too. It's democracy. It's democracy.
With friends like you, what do you need? Right. Okay. All right. So there's so much more. Alan is right, says Daniel. Rich is being disingenuous about voter suppression. Trump has not attacked Republican efforts to engage in voter suppression, which is the only real rigging that goes on in our electoral system. And now we learn that Rich supports Trump when all along he's pretended not to be a Trump fan. Rich,
is that accurate?
I don't think that's accurate at all.
I do, because on several occasions I have tried to confront Rich with this issue, and he has said, I never told anybody I was going to vote for Trump.
But I also said that I could not imagine any set of circumstances under which I would vote for Hillary.
Okay, fair.
I was with Jill Stein until she started with the aerosol spray cans. You know, I thought that was very ungreen of her.
Vote for anybody other than Secretary Clinton is a vote for Trump.
Listen, we all, well, with the exception of Alan, we all live in New York, so our votes are going to Hillary anyway, right?
Yeah, and I live in
Our electoral votes are going to Hillary no matter what. I live
in Massachusetts where everybody's votes
are going to Hillary. Right, exactly, right.
But I think, though, that... one of the things that Secretary Clinton said last night is, you know, this is really about what we are as a country. And I think that's why I think voting is, you know, what's on the ballot, I'll say it again, is democracy. Democracy is on the ballot. Given the things that Trump has said, the way he has acted, there is a very clear choice. And I think it's important that, you know, people vote on this.
I absolutely agree. I just come down on the other side on that.
A lot of great questions.
We have to just go to, we have to thank some of our underwriters while we're here and keep up with that. But underwriting support for the Roundtable panel on the fund drive comes from Waldorf School of Saratoga, the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world, waldorfsaratoga.org. Brattleboro Retreat, offering partial hospital and intensive outpatient care at the Birches Treatment Center, full and half-day psychiatric and addiction treatment, and on-campus housing available, brattlebororetreat.org/birches. Adams Ferriker Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger, local apples, pumpkins, squash, fresh meats, and seafood, and Adams Grown Mums, adamsfarms.com. Enjoy Rhinebeck tree-lined streets, more than 70 shops, restaurants, historic sites, art, and cultural events for the fall leaf-peeping season. EnjoyRhinebeck.com for more information. The Yiddish Book Center, Amherst, Massachusetts, with Jonathan Safran Foer, reading from his new book, Here I Am, Wednesday, October 26th at 7 p.m., yiddishbookcenter.org. MPAC presenting Artist in Resident, Charles Atlas introducing a screening of the sci-fi film Cube 2 Hypercube on October 27th, empac.rpi.edu.
Okay, Joe,
is that the same Charles Atlas?
I don't know. But if it is, then he really knew what he was doing.
Yes.
I want to go to Teresa for a moment, because she did just jot down a question she'd love to explore.
I think it'd be interesting to talk about what this means down ballot. And I don't suggest that the election is over yet, but what does this mean for Republicans? You know, what does John Faso or Lee Stefanik or any of the other Republicans running for the House around the country or the Senate campaigns, what is their reaction to what happened last night?
Because every reporter, every journalist, not every, but most worth their salt, are going to go to those candidates to say, okay,
Where are you?
Yes or no?
This is a yes or no.
Are you going to accept the results of the election? And they will run
as fast as their legs could carry them, because they just don't want to answer that question.
And I'll just tack on to your question that if you're Paul Ryan, do you have to go out and make a statement this morning that says,
Yeah, I'm wondering. I tried to check just before I came in. Had he said anything yet? I mean, I know a couple of Republican senators did put out statements last night, but I haven't seen if. How could Ryan not say something?
Why does he need to say anything?
Because the basic tenets of our democracy were challenged by the Republican candidate for president last night. Even the former head of the RNC, Michael Steele, was on last night saying that it was disqualifying. I think that anybody running for Congress has to, you know, answer yes or no. Do you agree with that? Yes or no on the espionage question. Do you agree with your candidate for president on the espionage question? Yes or no, on a whole host of issues, but fundamentally on this issue of our democratic process.
Well, I've been saying ever since Trump became the candidate, I actually thought it could go two ways. I could understand how it could be adverse to the down ballot Republican candidates. But I could also see a kind of a psychology where it goes the other way.
How so?
Regular Republicans or even independents who say, look, I can't bring myself to vote for Trump, but I'm actually going to be more incented on the down ballot races to keep balance in the government.
Which is why the question I'm asking is so important. If people say, I can't bring myself to vote for Trump, but I will vote for these other Republicans, so you have a counterbalance.
Right.
That's the theory here.
That could happen.
That's the theory here. Yeah. But what do these Republicans who are running for office, again, Elise Stefanik here locally, John Faso, there are other Republicans, you know, what is their view on these issues?
No, I want to argue with Rich for a moment. We do know, from a political science point of view, we do know that every time we have an election, a presidential election of this kind, more Democrats come out than they would ordinarily. So in answer to your question, even though Rich says it is possible people will want to counterbalance this and vote for, you know, their usual Republican candidates, particularly incumbents, it is more likely, and we have seen this in election after election after election, that in the presidential year, the Democrats come out and they vote in large numbers, and in the off years, the Republicans come out and they vote in larger numbers. And that's because the Democrats aren't there. So they win their contest because very few people know a darn thing about, you know, who's running down ballot.
Right.
So therefore, if I'm a Democrat and I show up and I haven't been voting or watching or listening to the roundtable or anything else, I take a look down ballot and I say, I don't know any of these people. So I think I'll vote for the Democrats because that's right. Who I am.
And also for people who are concerned that there's been gridlock and nothing's getting done in the Congress, if in fact the Senate does turn Democrat and the House gains more Democrats, and Secretary Clinton wins, then that increases the chance that this gridlock will be broken.
I don't think they go to that point.
No, I don't think so. But I'm saying that's
I don't think that's the way that it works. I think what happens is they say gridlock, all right, but gridlock because the other guys are the gridlock problem.
Right. Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
No, I just want to go to letters.
Okay, going back to letters. Okay.
Yeah, we just have a lot, and we have about 15 minutes left.
Okay. Michael says, hello, I was disappointed in the question that Chris Wallace asked about Medicare and Social Security. He said, and it's too long, the letter's too long, Medicare is going to run out of money in 2020, Social Security going to run out of money, we heard that. I feel there's a huge difference between running out of money and solvency, and I believe that the phrasing of the question like that was alarmist. Okay, so thank you for that, Michael. Jeff says, good morning.
I would take issue a little bit with the difference between running out of money and insolvency, but
yeah,
they seem pretty close to me.
Okay. Good morning, panel. I must say that I agree with Rich in regards to Jill Stein. The spray paint incident was ridiculous. I, too, agree with the panel that Chris Wallace did a great job. Jeff from New Paul's.
You're connecting with the audience, Rich.
Yes,
very good. Good job. Good job.
Feeling a lot of love in this
room. Nice work.
Okay. Trade from Rita. I'm a Hillary supporter, but Trump sounded smart about global trade. What does the panel think?
It's too bad we're on radio because you had to see Teresa's face when you just said Trump sounded smart.
Well, you know, Hillary got caught in a bad spot. her husband obviously endorsed the trade agreements.
As did her president.
Yeah, as did her president.
The president she worked for.
And whatever their research is, it shows that this is not a popular thing, because there's still a lot of people in this country, especially in some marginal states, who are out of work. And you can't take the particularly, I don't know what the right word is here, intellectual view of this. You got to respond to those people who are going to vote.
I think trade is complex, and he didn't express the complexity. But what Trump did say, which he has said over and over again, is the people who are doing the trade deals are all stupid, and I'm going to bring in business people who are smart, and we're going to make great deals because these people are all stupid. They're stupid. They're stupid. I don't think that that's a trade policy.
Okay, democracy. If Trump wins, that will be the will of the people. If he loses, it's rigged. That's from John. And Rich says, Rich Honan is horrifying. This man is a lawyer. In what country? He so easily dismisses all those who do not have his means to prove eligibility to get past voter suppression measures.
I don't think Rich is horrifying. His views are horrifying, but he is not horrifying.
Okay. And then let's see. Ed says, Dear Roundtable, great show. If voters are to be required to show a voter ID card, then there needs to be a national ID card, which is free to all voters. A picture ID for drivers or non-drivers can cost $50 or more. This is obviously a poll tax designed to limit voter turnout.
But I thought that most of the states that were trying to do this had free ID cards that were going to be issued. And then the response was, well, it's not enough that it's free. It's that what you're asking, the identification questions that you're asking are too difficult for people of little means to be able to show where they live or something like that.
Jeff says, what do you think about Hillary not answering the questions about paid to play connected to the Clinton Foundation? Well, that was an interesting thing. I thought, you know, Hillary did not answer the question specifically as it was put to her. On the other hand, she did take the opportunity to defend the flag where the Clinton Foundation, which is an excellent foundation, was concerned. But she did not answer the conflict of interest question because I don't think she wanted to get down in the dirt with him on this.
Right. I think she used the times wisely to remind people all the good that the Clinton Foundation does, and also to raise the questions that I think are very serious questions about the Trump Foundation that requires scrutiny.
Richie says gerrymandering. Talk about rigging it. Republican states, and to be fair, all states, rig the districts to their own advantage. Get rid of this and see what happens. Rich should admit that no cases of someone trying to vote who shouldn't have been brought forward. And that's from another Rich.
That's incorrect, because there are cases of people being on the rolls who are people who are dead, people who have moved out and have actually self-reported that they should no longer be on the rolls.
Right.
And that's the only way in which it comes up.
But it's still, Rich, infinitesimal when it comes to the number of people who vote.
Actually, if you do it on a spot check basis where you say, for people to actually self-report something like that, I mean, how many people move out of state and then call the previous state and say, oh, by the way, I'm not a voter there anymore? Just think of the odds of even doing
it, because it happens to be against the law to be registered and to vote in two places. And so there are those people like me who are always afraid somebody's going to point a finger at us and say we're doing something wrong, who call up and do the honest and right thing and say, take me off your rolls there because I'm going to vote in another place.
The research shows that there are anecdotal examples, but overall, this is not a problem.
I'm sorry to interrupt. That's all there's ever going to be is anecdotal examples. To have evidence, it's impossible to show reverse evidence of fraud, okay? If people are not going to check through identification whether or not somebody's on the voter rolls, how are you ever going to back check
that,
Teresa?
Yes, but Rich, respectfully, how can you possibly check what you don't know? I mean, you can't disprove a negative. I mean, I don't know that. Are you following me?
I am, which is exactly why you can't
say there's voter fraud out there when you say, okay, well, we don't think there is. And you say, well, there is. And, you know, if you did it right, you'd find it.
Because in cases where people have voluntarily reported, which, as I say, is where most of these come up, these cases are throughout the country. They're throughout precincts. They're Republican and Democrat. They are layered throughout. And as I say, on a spot check basis, if you check five things and four of them have a problem, you can't say, well, there's only four problems. It means that 80%, that's an 80% hit rate.
Mark says, the politicized and GOP-leaning Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act, and now GOP-led states are instituting voter restrictions.
Exactly.
Are you shocked? Shocked by that?
I don't know that they're voter restrictions. We're going back and saying the same thing.
Sure, they're voter restrictions. Listen, I mean, I'm here to assure you they're voter restrictions.
All right. Well, that's good enough for me then.
Yeah. Okay. Diana says, the difference, Rich, between some Dems alleging voter fraud and what Trump did is context. The whole world was watching last night. If Dems had called into question our democracy in that forum, they would be tried for communism in another decade.
So are we saying if someone felt that there was either voter fraud or account fraud or some actual problem with the election, that he should waive his rights to bring that up?
That is not what he said. That is not what he said.
He's trying to delegitimize this election.
He made the claim, and I am shocked actually that this hasn't made more of a ripple, but he said it last night when Chris Wallace, who I think was basically saying to him, do you really want to stick with that answer? Seriously, do you want to stick with that answer? He gave him a good shot at it. But the one point where he said that he felt that that it was rigged simply because she should be in jail, well, then that has nothing to do with what I mean.
I don't think he was saying he was going to bring litigation over that. I think what he was saying was
he said it's rigged because she should be in jail.
How do you feel at a rigged election? And he said she shouldn't even have been able to run for president, and he felt that it was rigged.
Well, so, that's true. That's a true statement.
Okay, but has she been? Is she? Has the investigation come forward? Is there any? I mean,
she was cleared. Joe, not only that, but this is what is this? The paragon of virtue, pointing the finger at Hillary. This is a guy who's got legal troubles all over the place who won't show his
you guys. You guys are mixing
who
issues.
Who won't
out.
Show?
No,
who,
no, we're not.
No,
we're not.
No, how can he point
when
at her?
Answering this question about it being rigged, that it's rigged because she should not have been able to run for
that is one of many
office.
Reasons.
But that also he was saying that he would not accept the results of the election because of that.
I don't know. I don't.
What about
I don't
Trump
no, no,
University.
No. That's where
stuff.
I differ
and
from you.
And the foundation, the legal questions around the foundation.
I don't think he was saying that he was going to not. He was saying, look, there's many reasons why it's rigged. One of the biggest reasons that she should be in jail and not be a candidate, which is an opinion he's allowed to have. And by the way, an opinion shared apparently by many rank and file FBI investigators who have come out and said that they were shocked when Comey made that
the
discussion.
The case was litigated, and she.
It was not litigated, Teresa. That's the whole problem. It was not litigated. It was internally investigated, and then in a highly irregular procedure.
Well, you know, by who?
But
by
that's
who?
Not litigated.
The Republican head of the FBI?
Yeah.
Is that who you're talking
Absolutely.
About? He's the guy who threw in the towel?
Yes.
Please.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you look, we can say anything we want, but I want to bring up the point that Trump is under investigation, that he has himself not showed his tax returns. Why not? Because he doesn't want us to know an awful lot. Talk about transparency. That's what it's all about.
He's under investigation for Trump University. He's under investigation for his foundation.
Wait. He's being civilly sued. Okay, the under investigation, the Schneiderman thing. I think Alan, you blew that out of the water the last time we had this conversation. That was a blatantly political act where someone sent a letter. Someone who sits on one of Hillary's campaign committees in New York that's tasked with quote rapid response.
You don't think that there's legitimate legal issues about Trump University?
Teresa, do you think that
yes or no legitimate?
The witness will answer the question.
I don't
legitimate
know.
Legitimate legal issues
Not
about
only,
Trump University.
I think if there were legitimate
yes or no.
legal issues, then any responsible New York State officer, like an attorney general, would refer it out to an independent prosecutor, an independent investigator, and not someone who sits on the campaign committee of the opposing candidate.
We'll set that aside. Legitimate legal issues about his foundation, yes or no? Use of his foundation.
I'm sure there are. That's fair. And are there not about hers? Wait, yes or no? Are there not legitimate legal issues about the conflicts of interest regarding the Clinton Foundation and her access?
Do we know what his conflict of interest issues are? What about his potential conflict of issues with the Russians? Why won't he release his taxes? Why is he cozying up with the Russians? Why won't he accept this issue of espionage?
I answered your question. Are you going to answer mine? Are there legitimate legal issues regarding the conflicts of interest with the Clinton
None
Global
None that I'm
Initiative.
Aware of that are in the courts right,
right
now.
Okay. Then I have my answer.
Joe, can I go on, or do you want
to? No, it's, okay. I do, yeah, go. I have to read these at some point, but then we'll,
okay. Claire,
we have 7 minutes left.
Claire says, please discuss Trump's promise to appoint Supreme Court judges to repeal Roe versus Wade.
Rich?
I'm sorry, I was reading one
please,
of the letters.
Yeah, please discuss.
I have to tell you, I read a lot of the letters that we can't read on the air because I see them coming up on the screen. So yeah. it sometimes diverts
well,
me.
Well, I don't know. You know.
I didn't agree with his position on Roe versus Wade. I think that's...
Your kids would kill you.
Yeah. No, I said I did not agree with...
No, I
which,
know.
Yeah.
I've
said before in other contexts, I think one of the biggest... And I've had this argument with other right-wing... I mean, other than me. I understand there's no other right-wing thinkers here in the room. I think one of the most non-conservative or anti-conservative things that conservatives do is bring social issues, and I consider the right to life one of them, bringing social issues into the political context. To me, that is the antithesis of a conservative who's supposed to be reducing the amount of issues that are being taken care of by the federal government. So I disagree with the, with that. I disagree, I disagree with their view on it, but I disagree if you're going to call yourself a conservative with introducing social issues like abortion, like gay marriage, into the conversation. I actually think that's an anti-conservative thing to do. Maybe it's anti-libertarian. Maybe that's the better word. So I didn't agree is my bottom line.
Let me thank some underwriters, and then we'll get back and we'll do our last hurrah here. Thanks to underwriting support comes from Union College Concert Series, presenting German pianist Christian Zacharias performing works of Schubert, Beethoven, Schumann. Thank you. After his Carnegie Hall appearance Sunday, October 30th, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org. The Montessori School of the Berkshires annual Fall Fest open house Saturday, October 29th, featuring Child Construction Zone with big trucks, school tours, Lego building, and more. BerkshireMontessori.org/fest. Oblong Books presenting Design Sponge founder Grace Bonney and Friends in the Company of Women. Saturday, October 22nd, 6 p.m. at Morton Memorial Library, Rhinecliff. Tickets required. OblongBooks.com. Hummingbird Jewelers, Rhinebeck custom design specialist since 1978, featuring gemologists and appraisers, on-premises repair, restoration, and repurposing of family heirlooms, hummingbirdjewelers.com. Big Elm Brewing at 65 Silver Street in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Tap room open Thursdays through Saturdays, 12 to 6, bigelmbrewing.com. The Arts at Hotchkiss, Lakeville, Connecticut, presenting the ceramic art of Dolores Cohen and Hotchkiss alumni in the Tremaine Art Gallery, October 20th through December 4th, hotchkiss.org/arts. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Last call on the letters. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left. We can get to a couple of them, and then we'll wrap up, and then... Let's see. The rest of the...
Yeah.
You're going to go do Media Project.
The Media Project
we're
for
gonna,
half an hour.
We're going to go do our thing, and then we'll wrap up the fun drive and end it, right?
We will. Yeah. No question.
Simple as that.
Right. We are now, just in case anybody wants to know about... Well, actually, I would say about $45,000
yes.
away from ending the fun drive.
Right.
The whole fun drive, the whole million-dollar
wow.
fun drive.
Wow.
And it's 1-800-323-9262 if anybody wants
in
to
the
call
next
in.
5 minutes. Yeah. Maybe
volunteers
if everybody listening
could
call.
By.
Okay, Daisy said she did start to answer Hillary. A direct question about the foundation. Trump cut her off, and then Wallace moved on to something else. I still can't get over how bullying Trump was towards Hillary during this thing. He would sit there, he'd go wrong, 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 wrong. And on the one occasion where she tried to say something, he butted in and said, this is my time. It was unbelievable. Talk about chutzpah. Unbelievable goal.
I thought earlier today you read a letter, a pledge from a 15-year-old on the issue of bullying, which I thought was maybe you want to talk about that. That was
well,
beautiful.
There's not much to talk about because I don't remember anything. But I can tell you that what the 15-year-old said is that we have enough bullying in our high school.
And that he's leaving it to the adults to vote against this bullying.
Yeah, right. It's true.
Beautiful.
So Andrea says, I agree with Alan, not my mo. What does that mean? Not my mo. Oh, that it is very
not
hard
my
to...
Not my MO.
No, that it is very hard to disprove a negative. One cannot accuse without evidence. I thought mo might have been her husband. One might accuse without evidence, which could be...
that would be news to her.
Used to prove innocence. In any event, voter for
her husband.
In any event, voter fraud at the party level is not about having names of dead people on voter rolls. It's about having actually having somebody vote using the names of dead people or convincing people to vote for more than once. Okay, Butler says, for the record, the results of this year's Democratic primary verify that Hillary Clinton won both the popular vote and obtained more delegates. Well, we know she obtained more delegates, but the question that has been raised, are these superdelegates? If Rosemary were here, and we wish she wasn't, and we've gotten a couple of letters saying, how come you cut Rosemary off the panel today? The truth of the matter is she's traveling, as she always travels. She's the most traveling lady you'll ever see.
And
what you have to remember is, if I'm on the panel, it's because Rosemary is not available.
That's I'm on the panel, it's because Rosemary's not available.
If I'm here, it's because the first seven choices were not available.
That is particularly not true, just so I can have that moment, because it is incredibly important that everybody knows that both sides are represented in this panel. That's why you're here, Rich, because that's
and I do contribute to WAMC.
How much?
So we'll see.
All right, a minute left.
What do we need? $45,000? Teresa, I'll split it with you.
A minute left.
Oh, a minute left. Okay. And Stacy says, "Hi, Roundtable. Where are your historians? NAFTA was negotiated. The deal, and the only reason the name is not in agreement because he lost the election. Look it up, Stacy. I'm sorry. It was badly written, I think. So I don't really understand what that one was all about. And I." Could not choose well. Okay, Willie says, Rich, I'm nearly as liberal as Alan, so I really agree with Rich Honan, but he is way over his head today and is without a good point. he has fallen to repeating totally
that sounds a lot like Alan.
Debunked GOP talking points. I'm very happy that he is included, and most days he offers a refreshing counterpoint, but today is not one of these days. Hey, listen, gang, I'm telling you, I'm going to vote for Hillary, but I have to say she has to be very careful.